We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Plant Profits. I'm Vern Davis. I'm your host of Plant Profits. And man, I'm excited to have this quality of guest on Plant Profits today. And you, as an audience, you're going to enjoy the conversation, I promise you. My next guest ran sales and operations in corporate America for over 20 years. He and his today partner combined their operational and cultivation genius skill sets and their yin and yang approach to creating a strategy and a business plan focused on quality, focused on health, and focused on wellness, which became what we now call Flow Gardens, which I know you're all familiar with. Flow Gardens is a highly rewarded business and brands, winner of multi Emerald Cup Awards and the High Times winner. High Times is a People Choice Award, which represents really the best hip products in the entire marketplace. So that's big time. So I am talking with David Miller today. Now, David is the Chief Strategy Officer at Flow Gardens. David, how are you, man?
I'm awesome, Bird. Appreciate you having me on the show today and excited to talk with you one-on-one.
Oh, absolutely, man. Now, it's quite interesting. You know, most of the times when I have these conversations that the folks that I'm talking to is not in Tennessee, right? You know, I mean, what the hell are you doing in Tennessee? This is where you operate. You operate this booming business out of Tennessee. Tell me how that came about, man.
Really came about by our founder, Eric. And he, it's all we could do. You know, we're Eagle State, and there's some silver lining with that, as we can talk about later if you need to or if you want to. And you know, that's kind of how we got started. It's where I was born and raised before. I lived in Atlanta for 20 years and raised here. So, I mean, it's just our hometown.
It's home. Hometown. Made it happen. I love that. I love that. What is it like, though, operating your type of operation, your type of business with the brand? I mean, you're not a secret. You're not under the table. This is real shit, right? So what is it like operating in the South and Tennessee?
Yeah, from a lot of different perspectives, especially being in a tier three county, which is a basically very poor demographic area, in Maynardville, which is outside of Knoxville. Is people don't know if what we're doing is legal for operating having to make sure we maintain great relationships with the Tennessee Department of Ag, that staying on top of the farm bill. Thank God it's been extended to September. It'll give us some breathing room and clarity to operate a little more. And yeah, every day is a new day with a new surprise.
you're right. I want to go there. You brought it up. I do want to go there. It's one of the things I'm going to talk about, right? We couldn't get the farm bill done. It was due at the end of this year to be updated, and they couldn't get it to hell. It's not even committed. So, and then they've extended it to September. Do you have any confidence? Because a lot of what you do, the farm bill supports. So do you have any confidence in what the update will look like, or is there some work that organizationally needs to happen, you know, throughout the industry to ensure some things? Are you hearing negative things? What's going on there?
I attribute a lot of it to just the chaos, for lack of better words, that's going on with our federal government relative just being able to get you know, the debt ceiling debacle handled. So we kind of took the back seat, the farm bill, so they could get that worked out. So it's very positive because the momentum with cannabis is moving in a more medicinal, more recreational state focus. So I'm finding it harder and harder to believe that they're going to move backwards when they adjust the farm bill with some of the issues and topics that are up there now. At the end of the day, it's unfortunately comes down to a couple people upstairs who make the decision, and hopefully they do the right thing for the people.
Right. You know, we've had this wave of coming and go momentum coming, right, and disappointment. And it's all been centered around what the hell happens in Washington, D.C., or what doesn't happen in Washington, D.C. And you said something here that you said that you have a certain level of confidence because there is another wave of confidence and how things are. And there's just so much hemp and that out there now, HD9, right? And it's important. People are putting their businesses and their livelihood and their careers on the line that's going to be able to stay. And that will be something that will be a business making for them. I mean, you're building brands and you're putting them in that channel of trade and the hemp legal channel of trade. And I have clients that have the same brand in the dispensary, right? And they're trying to build a brand through the hemp side because there's just so many more opportunities of points of distribution, right? And so you get more consumer exposure, which help you create a brand image and accountability and all the things that real brand making means in consumer products, right? So I just wonder how much faith do we put into what's supposed to happen in September 2024?
I try and stay positive, but, let my fear my government at the same time. You and I, Vern, our states have a lot in common. We do a lot of business. Texas, you being in Austin, me by the city, operate under the farm bill. And like you said, there's been so many brands, ours included, that have just exploded over the past year.
Right.
Because we understand the rules that have been laid out and we're following them and being compliant with them. And, it would be, for lack of better words, a tragedy if they went and they moved backwards on some of these rules that they initially set out. So we'll see what happens. We got, like I said, we got another 9-10 months of breathing room.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's important. And you're right. Who knows? It's good. I mean, but what that's going to do is you're going to continue to do great. Right? You're going to build this thing. And by July, you're going to feel, okay, damn it, we're doing it. It's happening. We're setting record numbers state by state where we have distribution. I just hope the lobby wheels and all the things that are being greased are happening, in the industry behind the scenes and talking to the right people and making sure that there's some certainty involved in this guesswork.
Yeah, and I can, I would know it surmise that the lobbyists, the marijuana side, not the hemp side, which I think all one together, but the laws really divided it. So I don't think it's a hemp versus marijuana, but at the same time, when you're looking at the two sides, I see where marijuana's coming from. They have to deal with 280E implications because it's not approved federally, marijuana. So we don't have that tax hit that most all other businesses don't either, except for the marijuana industry. So I think there needs to be some things done federally to loosen the marijuana standards, so we can operate as one cohesive unit. And that's what I plan to do strategically over the next year, is just separate that facade of a gray wall between hemp and marijuana, saying, guys, we're in the same boat here. Like there is no difference when you look at the science of the plant, and it all comes down to testing and, cannabinoids that aren't fully understood, psychoactive and non-psychoactive, and we've got to work together if we want to push this cannabis initiative forward as a country.
Well, absolutely. So let's talk about that piece, right? So the DEA several months back came out, said they're going to reschedule this thing, and they're going to put it in the process of rescheduling it from a level one to a level three. So, and then there's some weird stuff that happened in Georgia just recently. I don't know what the hell happened there with the DEA. So where are we on that? What is your understanding of, is that rescheduling, is it in queue? You know, it doesn't happen overnight. What are the forces to bear that gives you confidence that that will happen in 2024?
Yeah, I read, that's a great question. I'm glad I did my reading yesterday, Vern. There's something that came out, I think it was MJ Biz Daily, is there hasn't been a lot of information released about the rescheduling to a Schedule 3 from Schedule 1 for marijuana. I guess leaked or released, however you want to look at it, was, I believe it was the DEA, maybe in conjunction with the HHS, but they had, one of the two organizations had requested information and input from the states that were legal and requested data around that specific to what is the medicinal value with marijuana. So that in and of itself, them asking for that data, I think is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
So, but there's very little information that's factual that's being released about this. So I don't know on that other than we'll have to wait and see. And then as far as Georgia goes, I'm not in that state anymore, but I have been following it. And, you know, they were the first state where it was allowed to be sold in pharmacies, and the DEA notice saying, you know, sorry, this can't be sold in pharmacies. So it's so obvious. I mean, I don't know, speculation, but obviously I would think like the CVS's and the large box stores are already, that's definitely a hard no now. But as far as making smaller pharmacies, I don't know that the DEA has an enforcement division from a resource allocation perspective to do that. So how that's going to pan out, I don't know, but something
needs to be done. That's crazy. That is insane. That is insane. And we're not going to solve it here. But the point I'm making is that, is the point you made, is that there's some real positive things happening. There's some momentum. There's some things that can really impact in a positive way. Now, I think that it politically, and I've been saying this for a couple of years, politically, the party that puts their arms around this thing is going to win a lot of elections, okay? They're going to make their constituents healthier economically and from a wellness perspective. They just got to do that. I would think, since this is the big one, right, 2024, that there's a lot of elections going to happen, and the big one is there, that in that campaign, it won't be a silent participant, right? That there will be a plan, there will be a presentation of, and there will be someone, I would hope, that will claim it as this is something that should have been done a while back. This is something we should be doing. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I have done. I would love to hear that about our industry. I would love to hear that in the political perspective by those who are trying to be elected.
Yeah, I agree there, Vern. And, you know, if we can just get a candidate to say this clearly has medicinal value, you know, what you do in your personal time and, you know, in your home or in private areas, you know, that's it's your decision. It's not me as a politician speaking, you know, in their perspective to decide what you should or shouldn't do. But we do know this has medicinal value. You know, we have 40 plus states where it's approved. So, like, let's get our stuff in order, Washington. Come on.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Hey, we're going to take a quick break on the other side. We'll get into flow guards. That was something you and I just could not resist.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Because we got opinions about it, and it's where we live. So it's quite interesting. I'm Vern Davis. I am your host of Plant Profits. And my guest today is Mr. David Miller, who is the Chief Strategy Officer for Flow Gardens. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Plant Profits will return so our sponsors can profit from these messages.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Vern Davis. I am your host of Plant Profits, and thank you for joining us here on Plant Profits. And my guest today, we have a great conversation with Mr. David Miller, who's the Chief Strategy Officer of Flow Gardens. Now, David, tell me, man, How did Flow Gardens, how did this whole thing come about? Because you were doing other things, successful. I think you sold one or two businesses. You had exit in one or two businesses. And how did you get involved in this thing?
It took me 20 years, Vern, to figure out what I loved to do from a work perspective and actually doing it. So I don't know that I'm the best person to talk to there. But you know, after 20 years, I took a hard look at what I was doing, put the money aside, and was like, you know, what do you do that, what is meaningful to you that you love for you to do? And
yeah,
it came down to some, you know, personal situations and my family and close friends. I chose cannabis, and
yeah,
it just kind of happened after that. You can call it manifestation, good luck, hard work, opportunity, I mean, whatever you want, but you know, it just kind of happened from there. But how Flow Gardens actually started, Eric's been growing, I guess you could say, underground for 25 plus years. Mm-hmm. And whenever he went out to Colorado and in 2016, he was on the rooftop of the building with one of his buddies, and he was smoking a one-to-one can of tonic. So half CBD, half THC. It's like, this is the future. It's not just cannabis. It's these alternative cannabinoids that also have medicinal benefits. Yeah. So you were able to craft a way, this is several years ago, to grow plants under the 0.3% Delta 9 and the required THC at testing. Whenever we actually sold it, it had a balanced THCA, non-psychoactive form until decarboxylated and heated. So you had half that, and you had half THC or a half CBD. And we brought that to market. It didn't exist. Mainly through a lot of followers on Reddit. Those guys and girls are super, super sharp. If you do anything wrong, they will roast you a little bit too harshly. But, you know, yeah, I think it's all in good spirit. And, you know, we were able to get a super loyal following on Reddit. And,
yeah,
you know, it just kind of expanded from there. A bunch of people started figuring out the THCA and CBD market and, you know, how to comply with the rules appropriately to bring good product to customers. And, you know, now there's probably a $3 to $7 billion industry, and it's hard to get those numbers reported, but across the nation. So we feel like we had a pretty strong impact in making that happen. And we're glad to see that there's tons of people across the country profiting from it.
Yeah, that's great. You know, that goes into the conversation I want to have with you about Flow Gardens, right? What makes you guys different? What makes you stand out?
So whenever I first got there, being completely new to cannabis, other than growing it, you know, myself and consuming it over the years, you know, I didn't really know anything about it. And so I spent the first 9 months just getting in Eric's head and figuring out, hey, what is the purpose of what you're doing? What is the vision that you have for your company? So we can not only communicate that with our employees, but also cast it out into the marketplace. So it just comes down to having a sound business model, a sound structure, everything from core values to what's your purpose, which ours is cultivating health and happiness through high quality cannabis, to having a brand promise, a brand guarantee, and all the components that you need in a business.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing the day-to-day bricklaying. You know, it's not rocket science. To work together as a team, and you know, good things will happen, not overnight. But good things will happen.
Right. But as a consumer, how do I know I'm consuming a Flow Gardens product, right? And link that discussion with, as a consumer, am I shopping for one of your brands? Or am I shopping for a group of brands because it's Flow Gardens? Or how are you doing that, you know, communicating with me, the consumer?
A lot of the factual evidence that the consumers need comes down to the COA. And we've recently, within the past week, actually this week, increased augmented our internal compliance standards, which is not required at all, to have in the past done above and beyond, which is get a cannabinoid test, get a terpene test, adding a mycotoxin test as well.
Now, what does that do for me, the mycotoxin test?
looks for, I'm not a scientist, Vern, but I believe it looks for like the four bad types of mold, i.e. Aspergillus.
Okay, good. So you're trying to get me a clean product, the cleanest product I could.
Yep, exactly.
Right. Got it. Let's continue down this vein on brand building. What's happening at Flow Gardens to build brands?
We have.
And how do you view it? And how do you view it as a business?
When it comes down to building brands, it comes down to in the customer first. You know, whether it's kind of an easy comparison is played to Burger King, is like, I think if you ask the average consumer who's got better customer service, an overwhelming majority would say Chick-fil-A. And it's not what can you do to make the customer happy. It's what can you do to make the customer happy and then go above and beyond their expectations so they know that you know that you are very important to them. And, you know, looking at our LTCV, our lifetime customer value, that is just huge in an industry like this where it is still the wild, wild west. And you to provide that good customer service. I'll talk about something uncomfortable. We had some mold recently, and you know, mold, for those that don't know, mold is present in almost every flower. It's at what degree, and are the trace elements, is it detectable? And when you throw in factors like we're shipping across the U.S., so that ship time, there's the temperature fluctuations. And we basically dropped everything and have dropped everything for 2 weeks to make sure the customers understood, hey, we don't know what the heck's going on. We have strong quality assurance processes. Obviously, they're not where they need to be.
Right.
All your money back. Here's a credit. Here's a gift. We are sorry. We're not perfect, but you know, we're going to do the right thing. It's right. Ignoring the bottom line. Or prioritizing customer service over the bottom line in situations like those, to where they know that the brand is valuable and you're not just trying to make a buck.
I think that's really important. And are you guys putting out there in the ecosphere that what you're doing to present me a clean product as a consumer? And that's big. I think that helps me narrow down where I'm going to shop, right? Who I'm going to, if I know that you're doing everything you can beyond the call of duty to get me the best thing for me, because I am ingesting this into my body, you know, either by beverage, by smoke, by food, I'm doing that. So it's quite interesting. Thank you for that. Now, the other question I have for you, and I'm sure we'll wrap this up, but are you guys in the beverage game yet?
You know, we've looked at that, and we went to out of state to look at a lot of beverage companies, see if it makes sense. You know, one of my in my prior career, I worked with Coca-Cola, the alternative beverages division.
Okay,
and the economics when it comes to shipping, especially on a B2C level, with beverages is the economics, they're tough. So we're not in the beverage game yet. There is certainly a way to make money and to be successful at that, but
especially on the hemp side. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's exploded.
Yeah, we went to the Southern Hemp Cup Championship. We were judges.
Okay, nice.
Just this past weekend, we won in the past, I guess, 3 or 4 years. So they won another winner. So we judged. It was at a High Notes cannabis bar in Nashville, really fun. And they had probably 15 different cannabis beverages, Vern. And, you know, they were amazing. I think they're starting to get the formula right. So a lot of them are at that
taste.
The taste too.
That taste has got to happen. I'm not drinking medicine.
Yeah. So the taste was good on several of them. And then, also, the THC and CBD content, it had about 2.5 milligrams.
Yeah.
You know, depending on your tolerance, some people, if they have a 10-milligram gummy, they're shot to the moon and they're done. So, you know, if you're just drinking something at 2.5, that's, I guess, the equivalent, even though I don't like to equate it to alcohol, it's kind of the equivalent of like drinking a beer.
Right. No, I think that works. There's a lot of people getting involved in that, and they're finding some success, man, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But look, I really appreciate you coming by and spending some time with us here on Plant Profits, man. I want to thank you. You guys do a great job, and I want to invite you back. And David, I love talking with you, man, and I want to make sure that you and I can continue to talk. And because you guys are doing some, you're really into the science of the plant. And what you do is leading. We just got to get everybody on the same page, create a great industry, and compete like that. That's when it gets good, because then you get a lot better. Because, you know, you're really taking the science of what's actually in the product and the plant that is going to actually, how it's going to affect me. And that's so important, because it's so different for every individual. It's so different for every individual what they consume. So, David, thank you. Thanks for being part of Plant Profits as a host. I definitely want to make sure that you know that we appreciate your presence in the industry and your presence here. I am Vern Davis. I am your host of Plant Profits. And my guest today was Mr. David Miller, who's the Chief Strategy Officer of Flow Gardens. Until next time, cheers.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.